Today's episode, we are going to talk about our end of season award predictions, slash if we had a vote, what we're doing. We're going to predict the play-in and the first round of the playoffs, as well as Josh has the potential to be up 6 points after tonight's trivia. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Next.
Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Trevor.
All right. NBA regular season is over.
Absolutely. Super excited. excited that we're here finally. I mean, it feels like we just said that we were previewing it. And now, like, I remember we were doing, what, a four-part preview? That four-part.
It definitely doesn't feel like we were just previewing it because things have changed massively.
Absolutely. Let me get this.
You remember,
out of
like, just pointed out, you remember what we agreed was going to be the NBA Finals?
For those that don't remember, yes, I do. It was Lakers Nets.
So one missed the playoffs altogether, and one is in the play-in tournament tomorrow. And
as the 7th seed. Even better.
Are they 7 or 8?
They're 7. Cavs are 8. So before we get to the playoff festivities, let's go ahead and get the fun official kind of announcement preview thing out of the way. Draft Chat, officially episode 1, went live on Saturday. So we obviously had our first guest on, Stephen Gillespie from No Ceilings. That was a great episode. It was received very well only in a few days, and we technically didn't really announce it the week before. So thank you guys. Unbelievable support so far. Super excited. I know this is like a weird way to tie in the playoffs, the end of the year, to the fact that we're going to talk about draft a bunch for the next two months. But we're super excited to be able to say that we have some more content coming for you guys. Like we said last week, it's free. Like, please go listen to it. It's draft content you don't have to pay a paywall for, you know? So I'm super excited that we rolled that out, Josh.
And coupled with that, congratulations upon the end of the NBA regular season to the four winners of the NBA Tankathon. The Orlando Magic, Houston Rockets, Detroit Pistons, and Oklahoma City Thunder, you are the big winners. With the most likely odds on the lottery balls.
That was in order, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was from 1 to 4.
Yeah, that was lowest to highest.
If you had told me preseason that's what that was, I wouldn't have believed you because the Thunder
30th place was Orlando.
Yeah, the Thunder at 4, which is interesting. No, I'm super excited for the draft lottery. That is what, in like a week or two? I think it's April 11th, Monday night, recording this. Something like that. It's in the next few weeks. It's very soon. It's sooner
than I thought.
It was in
May.
Is it really? Okay, well, so much, right? So much for me remembering that. So, either way, while you're looking that up, I'll go ahead and get us rolled right into award predictions.
May 17th.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's a month from next week. So, never mind. We will do the next draft chat, obviously, before then. But it's bi-weekly on Saturdays. So, all right. Really fun, unorganized start. But let's do this. Let's award predictions as if, spoiler, we don't actually have a vote. But as if we had a vote, this is what we, Josh and I, would go with. And we're actually going to start. The order, by the way, we actually didn't go over. So I'm going to quickly tell you what order I had because, oops. I had MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Most Improving Coach of the Year. And I'm 99% sure that's exactly what we did midseason and preseason. So that was probably accidentally right. So
you set them up, I'll knock them down.
All right, let's do it. We've already... literally last week, discussed our MVP debate because, you know, it was the end of the year. So we'll go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and we'll go ahead. I actually have my first and second for each. So I have who I would have gave a second place vote to. Obviously, it's more complicated than that. You give 5 for every one of them, except for Coach of the Year, I think. But at the end of the day, I'll go ahead and get mine out of the way and then we can go quickly here. At the end of the last week or so, I told you that I think it was a 2-man race. Sorry, Embiid. Any other year, you probably get it based on the narrative that, you know, you just had a great year. But literally in the last week, Giannis lost it for me, and I went with Nikola Jokic because all the stats say he's the best player. I still eye test. Obviously, I understand what the defensive numbers are for Jokic this year, but I still think Giannis is the best defender out of those three, and I don't think it's close. But I will say that just Giannis and the Bucks kind of punted a couple of games. Obviously, it's for seeding jockeying. You're not really – I'm not a I'm not necessarily not a fan of it, but I think it's frowned upon. I think Giannis had a chance to just grab it and just run with it, and he didn't. And that, to me, how close it was. So I went with Jokic here in the last, 48 hours.
Interesting.
Are you shocked is the question.
A little bit. I thought you were an anti-Jokic, anybody else kind of truther for a while.
No. So I'm surprised you didn't figure this out. I was anti-Embiid, and it was between those two it was between Jokic and Giannis the entire season for me. I was never anti-Jokic, and I never have been. Even last year, I was not on the LeBron should have won train. As much as I wanted LeBron to win fifth or sixth MVP, I was opposed to it last year.
Was the LeBron should win train until he got hurt, and then it became the Stephen Curry should win train.
And I was never on that. So yeah. So I've never been a Jokic hater. Let me just be clear to you and everyone. It was just to me how much Giannis's legacy impact. There's a lot there, whatever, right? I think they both. Now, looking back more into it, I do think Jokic's legacy changes drastically because I'll just get the stat out of the way. He is going to have, in terms of it, I think it's win percentage or it's usage based on win shares or vice versa, right? Win shares based on your usage percentage. He's going to have the number one in NBA history as of today. Yeah. He's above Michael Jordan. He's above LeBron James, who are 2 and 3 in that statistical category. So, I mean... At least
to clarify for everyone, that means he has an incredibly low usage percentage for how many wins that he's providing for his
team.
Thank
you for clarifying, because the stat's really hard to describe when you look it up, but I did see
he's it. He is used less than your Giannis's, your Joel Embiid's, your Devin Booker, Jason Tatum players that have had outstanding seasons and yet has provided a greater impact.
Technically, if we're going by the stat, he's the least used highest win percentage player in NBA history, which is unbelievable. So very close with me. Obviously, I went Jokic. I don't think anybody's shocked by who you're about to say.
I was thinking for a little bit about making a joke to try to make people think I'd change my vote, but it kind of just feels useless at this point.
It does.
Yeah, it's Nikola Jokic. It's never been anyone else. It's been Nikola Jokic since week two of the season. So,
one thing I'm intrigued by though is I do obviously we saw. I'm not a fan of it. I told you before recording that I'm not a fan of the media people talking about too much of their vote. Whatever. I'm not a fan of it because I do like reacting to it accordingly, especially on a year like this where this is probably the closest MVP in since 2008, that was the Kobe. That was your Kobe. Your
is this one close?
Chris Paul. Well,
I don't feel like
publicly,
this is close.
Yes, it shouldn't be publicly, but it is. It will be. I mean, I don't think people realize there will be votes for Embiid and Giannis, and that's the point I mean by close. 2008 was a lot closer, obviously, with Paul and Kobe and some others, but yeah, Giannis was 2 for me. Jokic was 1. I did finalize. I didn't write it down. I'm not going to do this for any other, but I'll just tell you my 5. Because I think it's interesting. I told you I was fluctuating here and there with a couple. But I went with Jokic 1, Giannis 2, Embiid 3. I went with Devin Booker 4, and I went with Jason Tatum at 5. Mm-hmm. So if I had an official vote, those 5 are getting my vote in that order. Luka barely misses it. If he's off that team, they're a lottery team. That doesn't make him an MVP for me. Jason Tatum was the best player on his team, and it just – Jason Tatum had a better season statistically on both sides of the ball. Anyway, let's do Rookie of the Year because that is a fun topic I guess it wasn't fun up until Cade Cunningham came back and started playing well. Obviously, Scottie Barnes had a great year. Evan Mobley, Jalen Green in the last 10 games or so, except for when they played Toronto, has averaged 25. So it's been a crazy race. With Rookie of the Year, who did you have?
So this is one that's actually changed since my midseason. I think during some of the times that Mobley has been out and kind of the way that the Cavaliers have kind of fallen back a little bit, I'm going with Scottie Barnes, Toronto Raptors, for Rookie of the Year. I think that I had him at 2nd, middle of the season. He was my number 2 vote behind Mobley mid-year. And I think he's continued – kind of the same level of play that maybe Mobley didn't quite keep up post All-Star break, as well as providing a massive spark to his team doing quite well. I think Scottie Barnes has looked great, and I think he's earned a Rookie of the Year vote for me. I don't know if he'll win it, but
so we're in the same camp, but with different people. So I'll tell you, I went with Scotty at two for similar reasoning. Scotty obviously took over for most of the season because that first 15-game stretch, Evan Mobley and Scotty Barnes, like we wanted Mobley to look that good. We thought he would. No one really thought Scotty would take off this quickly as somebody who was, quote, a raw prospect, right? He's been able to, like, take the ball up for them, be a playmaker, initiate offense. Like, it's just been unbelievable. He's kind of been what OG Anunoby we thought kind of could have been in terms of his development as a player, but...
Yeah, I don't know how anybody that actually would have watched Florida State play when he was there would have ever thought that Scotty Barnes would have been a raw prospect.
He's talented.
He was incredibly polished for a college basketball player at Florida State.
I think he was less polished than Suggs was, and I think that was the argument with them going 4-5 there.
Some of that system stuff, though.
Correct. Gonzaga, you know. We'll talk, obviously, more of that on Draft Chat. But for me, regardless, they both – the impact of Mobley when he was out, the Cavs are worse. They were a non-play-in team or a made-the-playoff team, whatever, however you want to word it, and now they are a play-in team, the 8 seed. A month ago, they weren't. They were like the 5-6.
One thing to keep in context with that, it was not just Mobley who was out. Allen, it was also Jared Allen.
Who's not going to be playing as well.
Whose production was bigger and is a more important player for the Cleveland Cavaliers, was also out in that time span.
Correct.
You can't weight everything on that aspect.
Correct. We'll touch on the Cavs Nets here in a few minutes, but Allen will not be playing for the play-in as well with the broken finger. For me, that's a great – your point is good. What I'm going to follow up on is Mevin Mobley for me, as close as it was, I went with – sometimes eye test has to matter in an award that's close. And to me, Evan Mobley is a better player, has had a really good season defensively. I think the defensive numbers for him are a lot better than people understand. And I think it was very, very close, and I went with my gut and what I saw. And I think it went for me, it was Evan Mobley. But it was super close. I'm talking like made the decision an hour ago. Thought about it all year, yada, 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 right?
Yeah, I'm not going to fault you on that one. I mean,
there are people, by the way.
Incredible season.
I'm just going to get this out of the way. There are people that are going to at least think about. I'm assuming it will not be 1-2 for these guys and nobody else gets a vote. Kate Cunningham will get a vote. It's just a matter of, because people don't understand, like from January on, basically, he had to do everything for his team and he won them more games than people understood. Like they weren't good by any stretch. You just include them in the top four teams to get a top four pick. But he was good. Like he was, I believe, finished out with like 19-7-6 or something like that. I mean, just played exactly what you think he would be. He showed the could be the best player on a championship team for Detroit in the next 5-7 years potential. Like there's a lot there with him. He just, unfortunately, he plays all year and he wins them more games than they did. He's probably a lot higher in the conversation. All right. This is one I'm excited about because I told you before recording, I said we would agree on probably definitely three. And then it would be a toss up. To me, the rookie of the year was one of the bigger toss ups. I thought for us that it might be close. I'm curious on your defensive player of the year because like preseason, we are way off. There might not, our top three in preseason and midseason might not even be in the final three. Like that's insane to me. This award has been awesome.
Yeah. So I'll honestly say you brought me around on a guy who honestly should be considered in the most improved player race as well this year, but he probably won't be. But Robert Williams has really been the most staunch defender all season. As much as I love Rudy Gobert, and you know I love Rudy Gobert, I think Robert Williams has been by far, maybe not by far, but I think he's been the best defender in the NBA this season. I think he deserves some sort of recognition for the incredible season that he has had. And so I have him just edging out Gobert, who I have as the number two defensive player in the league this season, but I have Robert Williams winning defensive player of the year.
All right. I'm going to give you a 5 to 10 second gap where you can laugh at me.
At number two, you didn't pick Robert Williams after you wanted to, did you?
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah. This is just like midseason when I picked Draymond Green, you picked Rudy Gobert.
Well, so not even like I was really close on Robert Williams then, and I didn't want to be the guy. I feel like it would have been way too early, and I should have just for future reference for the folks who listen to the show, I'm going to be a lot more bold on stuff because what have I got to lose, right? You guys listen to our predictions for whatever reason you do. We appreciate it, but I'm going to be a lot more bold in the future.
Okay, like people that. Are listening for you to say outrageous things. I'll go midline except for when I talk about the Jazz.
Well, and that's great because I think you're right. Everything I said about Robert Williams, I think I'm right too. The problem is his teammate Marcus Smart to me was the better defensive player in terms of when he wasn't there. They literally are 0-10 when Marcus Smart didn't play this year. They're okay without Robert Williams right now, and it was that close. Like, I'm talking the fact that I have two Celtics. If I had a vote this year, I don't know who the heck I'd vote for three. I'd be like, I don't even know. I would just sit there and stare at my ballot. So. I went with Marcus Smart and Robert Williams, and when I tell you it was as close as Rookie of the Year, if not closer, Marcus Smart, we haven't seen a guy do this kind of defensive ability from the guard position since, you guessed it, Gary Payton, the last guy to win it. However, as crazy as this sounds,
Payton also picked Marcus Smart as his defensive player of the year.
Shout out to the glove. However, I think what, and dude, don't aggregate me on this, I think what Smart has done outside of the guard position, because he plays the one, the two, the three, the four, he plays a lot of those positions because the Celtics switch everything, even though a 35-year-old Al Horford, you know, has somehow made that work when they're not playing Robert Williams while he's hurt. What we're seeing from Smart beyond the guard, because as much as I love Gary Payton all time more than most, Smart is a better defender outside of the guard position. What he does in passing lanes and such, Gary Payton's one of the best, if not top two, on-ball defender from the guard position ever. But Marcus Smart this year has done everything across the board. So, that being said, as I literally changed it 45 minutes ago, sitting in my hotel room, for those who might not know, if I sound super echoey, I'm on the road in Charlotte. Unfortunately, not for the play-in game. We'll talk about that shortly. But, it is what it is. So I changed it 45 minutes ago while I was prepping for the show.
Also, while we're getting on the Boston Celtics love, and I'm sure we'll talk about them more later.
Oh, we will.
Shout out to Ime Udoka and the changes that he made midseason, not only to turn the Celtics team around, one that I heartily bashed for a large portion of the season and offseason, and really just using defense as a way to crack down to move their way back up. The Celtics finishing in the second seed in the Eastern Conference, being at 8 seed or even borderline out of the playoffs for at midseason, this has been incredibly impressive to watch. And just shout out to them across the board. They've been the best defensive team, bar none.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk more on the Celtics. I have some thoughts that don't relate to Marcus Smart and Robert Williams as much here in the next couple of minutes when we go on to the bracket here. Sixth man of the year. You just want to do it on three. is this the one of the three I was talking about? Tyler Hero. Yeah, it's the Zoom thing. We record on Zoom.
You did on three. I did after three.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't work on Zoom for you guys. Anyway, you know it's Tyler Hero.
I don't have anything else to say.
Literally, because two and three don't matter, I had Kelly Oubre at two. Even though I do think there are better second place votes for me, but at that point, did it really matter? It does for the way the voting would count if we had one.
Tyler Hero comes off the bench for the Miami Heat, and until a couple of weeks ago, he was the leading scorer for the Miami Heat.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's the Jamal Crawford argument, period.
That's the whole
– Jamal Crawford won it four times, and he was – actually, that technically Lou Williams did this more, so I'm going to go with Lou Will. But either way, Jamal Crawford won it four times. Lou Will won it four times as well. And they both – well, Lou definitely, I know for a fact. I have to double-check the Jamal Crawford part of it. But Lou Williams was the leading scorer on his team all 4 years that he won the award. So, yeah, shout-out to Tyler Hero, the dude in South Beach. Let's go with most improved player. This is the one I'm excited about.
Going with all the bias all the time, it's Miles Bridges. Give him the award. Bring him the award. Bring it to him. Another year-end award for Charlotte.
So, wait, hold on. Another? What do you mean, another? Oh, like another just to the total of the franchise. Not this year, you mean?
Yeah, I meant because we had one last year in Rookie of the Mellow Ball. So.
Yeah, I was so confused. I thought you meant this year. I'm like, we've already been through all the awards. You haven't picked any. No, okay. Okay. I told you before we started this, I didn't want to argue. But you have my permission to argue after this. I loved his play this year. Loved seeing him in person. Loved everything about this team. Loved everything he brought. I hate most improved player. Can I just go ahead and caveat this really quick? I hate this award because I went back on my own word. I have liked the awards predictions thing before we even started a podcast. I've liked to predict the awards. Something I used to write down in a notebook for like the last 10 years. And my one rule, and if I didn't say this last year, I'll make it public this year. My one rule with most improved player is I don't pick a sophomore. I picked a sophomore. It's the one award, the one guy I had to flip on.
Can't even think of who you're talking about.
Miles Bridges was three, and I'm so sorry to you. If it was two, I literally would have to coin toss between Darius Garland and Jordan Poole because those two, I would literally have to give Miles a vote because I think you'd only do top three for most improved player.
What sophomore did you give it to?
Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane had an unbelievable season for an unbelievable team, and justifiably so, going from just under 8 points a game to 16 points a game to being one of the best defenders on his team to being an over 40% 3-point shooter. Just the impact he's had because John Morant, people can make the joke about John Morant when he's not there, they win games still, whatever. Desmond Bane's a really big reason for their success. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s missed a couple of games, which is what kept him out of Defensive Player of the Year voting for me. Again, this award, literally, I could have flipped a coin four times, and that was what I was going to go with. It's so many guys, and I can't give it to Ja because Ja was awesome last year. So the Garland thing hurts. Jordan Poole, I think, deserves some recognition. But just at that point, like, I had to break it up somehow, and I had to go, Darius Garland's awesome for the Cavs, but like you said, Jared Allen's impact has been awesome. Evan Mobley's impact, the team as a whole. I really liked what Desmond Bane brought on and off the stat sheet this year. I think it was super, super close. I probably should have done Bridges at two, though. Go ahead. I'm prepared for your outlash.
I
Was it
don't
great?
have anything against the guys who have obviously heard you talk about, but Miles Bridges went from Hornets' sixth man to the best player on the team.
Understandable. And that is
Just believe in that, like I'm just putting that out there.
a huge jump. The part that I had to differentiate for a couple was, first of all, we know Miles Bridges is good. That's another thing I take into consideration, which is why it's hard for the rookie sophomore thing. That's why I don't normally do that. Never have up until this moment, never would have. For me, he is really good. I know what he is in terms of up until this year. We knew he was a good player and we wanted to see a statistical jump. I do think the thing that was tough though for me was that his jump was huge. Like it was a pretty big, like you mentioned sixth man of the year, like he regardless or sixth man for him last year, like he's a good player and we knew he would develop. We knew LaMelo was gonna be a huge impact for him. But I just there's just it for it to be that close for me with the three guys that I had with Bane, Garland and Poole. I went with Bane, and I outside of it, I could probably give you more, but I'm just not going to because I think it was that close. I had to differentiate between the fact that the Grizzlies are a 50-plus win team. He shot unbelievable from three, had the same stats as Andrew Wiggins, who was the first, who was an all-star starter. Obviously, I made that joke before. That was not a preview of my prediction. Again, made this pick here in the last couple of days. So Desmond Bane for me, and again, very close.
I'm not going to take time to argue about it.
No need to, because at the end of the day, he's going to get votes. I don't think people realize, like a lot of CBS Sports and a lot of the guys from ESPN that have votes, most of them have him at two or three. So it's just a matter of there's just, I think this year is probably, there's always, most improves
Actually
interesting,
don't
right?
have any idea who the favorite is. Like maybe it's a Garland, I guess, the most likely
It's
one to actually get
probably Garland. I think the betting
it.
favorite right now is Garland across most books, but it at the end of the
That's
day,
one that I haven't paid much attention to. I don't really know. I'm just gonna
that's also the thing.
come away with it.
You don't really have to because that's the most subjective award every year. Again, I picked RJ Barrett preseason. Who'd you pick? Do you remember? I'm curious to know if you remember. Because I'm not embarrassed by mine. RJ Barrett had a great back half of the year. He really did. He took over when Randall hit the dump. So not
no idea. Choice. I don't remember.
I'll have to find it. Someone else look it up, aggregate Josh and let us know. I have no idea what it is either. This is the last award, Coach of the Year. The one that it's the one of the three I think we absolutely are probably going to agree on. I'd be shocked if we have different answers. I hope for the sake of your, like, I know you as a basketball person and I would trust your basketball opinion that you would get this right because he deserves it.
I mean, I just feel like, yeah, there's one person who really sticks out as deserving this one to me.
I'll give you three and two really quick. Okay. Three was Udoka. Ime Udoka deserves a vote, no doubt. Somebody somewhere, Celtics truther, will give him a vote, even though it probably should be unanimous. Taylor Jenkins, number two. People are probably wondering, the casual fan going, Taylor who? The Memphis Grizzlies coach, because, again, people probably have to Google that name. I think it's a testament to him sticking to his system, and it's worked. Again, I think you kind of know based on those two being eliminated off my board who you probably have as well. It's the best team. It's the team that people don't realize probably that have a top 17 record all time in terms of their 65 and whatever. Coach Monty Williams is one of the best coaches in the next 15 years of the NBA, and I don't think it's debate. He's an unbelievable coach with an unbelievable roster. Monty Williams deserves this head coach award.
So I went with Taylor Jenkins.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and it's not anything against Monty Williams, but the Suns were fantastic this year. Prove me wrong when I thought for some reason they were going to fall off at the beginning. They were unbelievable. They deserve all the praise. I usually think of Coach of the Year most of the time based on who improved the team the most over a year's time. I think Monty Williams really deserved that award last year, that it should not have gone to Thibodeau.
Which is why I gave it to him this year.
But I can't do it just because he deserved it last year. I don't think I can do it now.
That's fair.
The Memphis Grizzlies roster didn't change at all. Not one bit. They have a better record than everyone in the Eastern Conference, I'm pretty sure. They're clearly the second best team behind Phoenix, and they only made the playoffs last year because they won play-in games on two play-in games in 3 days. Taylor Jenkins took the same players that could barely make the playoffs last year and has made them the easily second best team in the NBA, and I think that should be rewarded with Coach of the Year award.
Some might say some of their players improved.
Great coach.
Yeah. So I'm not, look, it'd be different if I had Udoka at two, but I had Jenkins at three, but I had Jenkins at two because he does deserve it as well. I'll be honest with you. I believe there are 60 something votes for all these awards. I think it's somewhere in the 60s, if not 50s or 70s. I'm not shocked if Monty Williams gets 90% of the vote. Just going to put that out there. I would not be shocked. They are the best. They're one, like, homework for anybody. Go look this up. Like, look at the Suns. Really take a deep dive at their record, their defensive impact all time, their defensive rating all time, their win shares all time. Like, some of the stuff behind the scenes for them, they're up there. They're, like, rivaling some of the best records of all time. I'm talking, like, 80s Celtics type of stuff, which is insane, right? And we'll talk about their path to the finals here in the next couple of minutes. So, are you ready, actually? You want to just start with the Western Conference? That's a really funny transition. You just want to roll right into the West and let's do this? I think the West is a lot more fun up at the top this year, but we're obviously going to
start. You always backwards. Think the West is more fun.
I think at the top. At the no, well, no, the East, okay. Depth-wise, the East is 100% more fun.
As far as the sides, like, I think the West is going to be pretty chalky.
It is.
No. East is going to be an absolute bloodbath.
100%.
Of a war.
Well, what I mean by that is the West being good. I think the West at the top is really good. We just talked about it. Suns, Grizzlies, et cetera. After that, though, starts getting really, really funky really fast. However, for the sake of the way the play-in tournament works, we're going to start with 9 and 10 because, you know, work your way backwards, right? So let's go with the first matchup. We'll just start high. We'll start Pelicans Spurs at 9-10. For those that might not know, obviously, the winner of the 9-10 will play the loser of 7-8, and then the winner of the 7-8 will move on to play the 2 seed, and the winner of the, you know, the second elimination will play Phoenix. So just a quick recap. I know that's hard to explain. I tried to explain it the other day to somebody I was talking to who's a newer NBA fan or slash learning to be an NBA fan. And I had to explain the play-in tournament off the top of my head, and I think I lost them multiple times. And it's one of those things, it shouldn't be that hard, but it is. And I understand why the NBA does it. I'm becoming more of a fan of it as we see it.
Like the play-in tournament in its structure makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Explaining it is just difficult.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Structure makes all the sense, but it's difficult to explain.
All right, let's go with who did – and for those – that are new here. Last year we did a little bit more of like a detailed breakdown. I think this year we're going to really spend more time on the series and breaking those down in a little bit more detail. Yeah. And we're going to give more of like a reactionary, this is what I think is going to happen based on the fact you've heard our opinion for 82 games. Like, you know what we think about these teams. Kind of. So with that being said, who do you have between the Pelicans and the Spurs?
I'm going with San Antonio. I'm not ready for the ride to be over for Poppin' Co. We've made it clear, I think, that Greg Popovich is going to retire at the end of the season. I don't know if he said anything like that, but it's still my expectation, and I'm not ready for the Popovich ride to come to an end. So, I'm going with the San Antonio Spurs. I also believe in DeJounte Murray more than I believe in any player who will actually step on the court for the New Orleans Pelicans. So, whatever it's worth.
Totally fair. Two things. Pop has not said it, but I agree with you. I think it is absolutely happening. I think this is his last season. As unfortunate that as that is, he's 73. He's kind of in that point where, and I'll tell you the reason I think this too, is I saw literally a take today, which, by the way, if you hear someone's take or they tell you on social media or an article, if you read something that says they know what's happening within the Spurs organization, ignore it. It's probably wrong. However, no offense to our friends in the Spurs community, but what I'm saying is there's a reason they didn't tank this year. It's because they think they could win into the play-in. And Pop doesn't care at that point about the legacy. They missed the playoffs 2 years ago, I believe, right? It was 2 years ago now. Holy cow, is that forever ago now?
We've also seen, like, even if they picked in the top five, they'd take somebody that we've never heard of anyway. So there's no reason to get high drafted.
You're going to keep making that joke until they draft, like,
Because we all sat around, looked at each other when instead of the San Antonio Spurs draft, Josh Primo, we were all like, who?
Yeah, I looked at you and I went, I looked at you. I remember we were out. Josh Primo. No, again, I have his rookie cards, totally rooting for his career. I looked at you. You were to the right of me in our, and I'll never forget this. I looked at you and I went, he wasn't top 30 on my big board. I just want you to realize. I'll never forget it. I looked straight at you and I went, and I'm people don't, we're not doing a visual podcast yet. For people don't realize, I'm literally looking past Josh on a table like this. I'm leaning forward. I legitimately, like, did not have him in the top 30. The draft is always fun. All right, anyway. I think the conglomerate of a team and the streakiness of the fact that they've played really well for the last 25 games, like the Pelicans beat the Spurs, I think it's probably close to DeJounte Murray. You're correct. He's a really phenomenal player. Probably the best player on the floor. However, Herbert Jones can guard about anybody right now, and I fully mean that. He's been unbelievable. I think this game's close. I don't think it really matters, but I think the Pelicans move on.
One thing that'll be key, it looks like right now that Brandon Ingram will still be out for the playing game, so he will not be there for New Orleans. As much as I want New Orleans to make the playoffs, I really do, because if they do, the Hornets get their draft pick. I just don't see it happening.
You went with your brain instead of your heart. I like that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. That'll leave it open for the Eastern Conference when I do not go with my brain.
It's all good. Thanks for the spoiler ahead of time. Who is playing the Pelicans, the Wolves or the Clippers? Which, by the way, before you say anything, sorry, the Clippers will be with Norman Powell and Paul George, but will not have Kawhi Leonard and co. But they will have Norman Powell.
He's playing.
Yeah, he came back a few games ago, but he's been slowly ramping up. He'll be there. Norman Powell will be there.
Oh, well,
the rest of that team. Norman Powell, who just came back with a broken foot. I mean, like, that's a big injury to come back from quickly, but he did. He's looking pretty good. So they will have those two. And the Wolves will have everybody, I believe, except for one of the McDaniel. Whichever McDaniel's on their roster. I can't remember.
Jaylen.
Thank you.
Jaylen plays for the Hornets. Yeah, it's very confusing.
confusing. So I think they're without McDaniel, but regardless, they are pretty much at full strength. The Wolves are.
Even with Paul George, I still have Minnesota. Cat has finally shown what superstar he can be when he plays a full season. The Timberwolves have frankly just been a supremely better team. The drop-off between 7 and 8 in the Western Conference is large. Yeah, give me Cat, D'Lo, and Anthony Edwards on to Memphis in what should be a very interesting Grizzlies, Timberwolves. Who wins between a bear and a wolf challenge? That should be fun.
Yeah.
That should be a fun series.
We should definitely just do a separate pod that we put up on like a random place people have to pay for, where we just do a mascot battle.
Just do the mascot fights? Yeah, predicted only based on who would win in a fight between the mascots.
See, that's good. I just had this. See, you see this light bulb that just went above my head? It didn't literally, but we're going to change the industry. We're going to make people pay for the ridiculous content. We're gonna do a Patreon where it's like, hey, our Patreon, our first episode is going to be, we're going to do a playoff preview with just mascot battling. Or next year, the NCAA tournament, it'll be tier 3 Patreon. You have to listen to us pick the mascots or let our wives pick it or whatever, dude. It'd be so much fun. Okay, anyway, all jokes aside, I do think the Wolves win. I think it's close. But every couple of years, the reason I pick the Wolves, every couple of years, I do think there's a player. Whether they make past the first round or not doesn't have to matter for me personally, but I do think there's a guy every couple of years that just goes, we go, oh my gosh, that young superstar that we know is going to be really good, but he like took this leap in the playoffs and showed what he's worth. Cat's going to be the guy this year, and I think it's him and everyone else. So I think the Wolves take care of the Clips in a close game. So we both have the Wolves, I have the Pelicans, you have the Spurs. I guess the way it was worked out was either way we have – is that who we have making it? See, this is the part that I hate about doing this on the audio part, because we both think that the Pelicans and the Wolves are making the playoffs, right? No,
we picked the Wolves
right
to be the 7 seed.
They're going to be good. Got it.
And now the prediction is between the Clippers against – you have them against the Pelicans, I have them right. against the Spurs.
See, this is the part I don't like doing this like this, but
– it makes the most sense, but it is difficult to explain.
Yeah. I'll make it simple for you. I have the Pelicans beating the Clippers.
Ow.
I have the Pelicans making the playoffs.
I mean, that'd be nice for the Hornets, but I came in here completely prepared to pick the Spurs to beat the Clippers and make the 8 seed. Just kind of that miracle 10 seed run. With Paul George back, I am not going to do that. I'll pick the Clippers to take 8 to make people think that Paul George is going to scare the Phoenix Suns before they get run out in 4 games. But
that's fair. We'll just go right to 1-8 then, since you just went straight for it. We'll go 1-8. We'll go 4-5.
Get the brooms out.
You're good. That's fine. We'll go 1-8-4-5-3-6-2-7.
Okay.
Well, basically, in my head, I'm going down the bracket. That's the best way I think it is to work out. So, Suns. I have Suns Pelicans. You have Suns Clippers. I don't think it really matters.
Not one bit.
I would be shocked if one of these games ends in a whoever they play. The Clippers would be interesting with Paul George. Don't get me wrong. If it's the Pelicans, especially, I don't think there's a game. And I love the Pelicans this year. I think they've been a lot of fun the last, especially 25-30 games. But if the Suns play the Pelicans, especially, there will not be a game that does not end with the Suns winning by more than 10. And I fully believe that. So.
Pelicans aren't going to win the 9-10, so I don't even know.
It's okay. Regardless, it doesn't matter who they play. Even if it is the Clippers, I'd be shocked. So I have notes, some like jot quick notes. People know, like after listening to us a while, like how I take notes for shows. I don't have any notes for the 1-8. I literally have a star and sweep. That's literally all I put. And I don't feel bad about it. The Suns are, like I said already earlier, they're one of the best teams in the last 50 years in terms of a lot of things. So Suns beat the Pelicans in 4. We're in agreement there.
Yep.
All right. 4-5, hit me with it.
4-5, that's the Dallas Mavericks and the Utah Jazz. And I'm going with Utah.
In how many?
6 games, 4-2.
Oh, all right. This quickly we agree again.
I think, I think the Mavericks blatantly are talented enough to take a game. I mean, like they're the higher seed here. To take a game from the Jazz. But then also I think the Jazz tend to have some offensive struggles in the playoffs and not quite perform as well as they normally would, which is why I say it should be a 6 game win. Otherwise, I would have gotten 5. But I think six because the Mavericks will match up well enough to score a few before it comes to an end for them.
So where I came to the conclusion, for those that might not realize, Luka literally in game 82 injured his calf, and it did not look very good at all. Like, thought it was knee to knee, didn't react immediately when he hit his knee to someone's knee, hypothetically, and then realized a couple like seconds later when he started to run back down the court, he could not. I'm not convinced he even plays game one. Dallas media thinks he's questionable. I don't know. I that's the part for me. If Luka's fully healthy, I'm picking the Mavs, as much as I hated this team all year. And it sucks because I hate an injury to change a series. But I think if he
Maverick plays, source when asked if Luka Doncic could be ruled out for game one at any point, he said no.
And that's fine. This is the playoffs. You think you're going to win the series. If you think he'll get healthy if you beat him quickly, I get it, whatever. For the risk of your star, you probably don't play him game one, if we're being, you know, common sense-wise here. But if it's as bad as they say it is or not, I still think that was the cloud for me for this series. I almost went Utah 5 because of the injury, but I do think, again, like you said, Utah's struggles, and Dallas is a team that will slow it down. They are the slowest paced team in the NBA, and I think that will matter for Luka, and I think that will matter for the fact that the Jazz play good half-court defense. I just think it's going to be
close. Yeah, I question if a slow pace is good for Dallas in a matchup against Utah.
It's not good. It's not bad for either team, to be clear. So I think the injury is what clouds it. I do think the Mavs are, believe it or not, slightly deeper than Utah right now. But it's just tough because both these teams, I'm not going to lie to you, I think I like both these teams least less than any of the others. And they play each other, unfortunately. This is probably just spoilers for everybody. It's probably the series I watch the least. All seriousness. I probably watch, if it's Suns Pelicans, I probably watch two of those games. So, at least. 3-6.
It was Golden State and Denver. I have the Warriors in five.
Really? Five? Tell me more on five, because I'm curious why you have five.
Yeah, I think defensively Golden State, it really kind of stretches out over Denver quite a bit. Golden State has continued to look good since Klay has been back. They haven't quite maintained that best in the league spot that they were at. But frankly, they look better on defense. This is still Denver in the one-man Nikola Jokic show, which is going to win them at least one game at home in Denver. But the one-man Nikola Jokic show isn't going to be what essentially I'm just calling it as the Warriors run it back from 2016 with the Splash Bros.
Heard that comparison a couple times this week. 2016, at least, to this team. I'll say this, Steph's injury, it wouldn't be a playoff series first round where we were curious if Steph was fully healthy. Sorry, that's not a knock on Steph. That's just the fact that he's had multiple playoff series in his career where we come into the beginning of the playoffs and we go, is he fully healthy? I don't think so. And they find a way to win a series. I think Jokic can't do it all, as literally much as that's what he did to win MVP and to get them to the sixth seed and not have to play the play-in. Think about that for a second. The Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray-less Nuggets right now are the sixth seed. Unfortunately for Jokic, this is where the road ends. I have the Warriors in six because Draymond, whether people like it or not, is not the same player anymore after the back injury. It's on and off the court, it's obvious. And then Steph's injury, they're pushing that he'll play. Same thing with Luka.
I think Steph could average 25 on one leg in a series, so I'm just not
totally fine. And that's, I think Jokic can do enough, quite literally. And they are a team that, like, when they beat Charlotte, they shot like 30, when I was at that game, they shot like 36% from three, which is average, if not slightly below average, and they were able to beat a team like that. I'm not saying, what I'm saying is they can shoot better than that, and they have multiple times, so if they do, they probably make a game out of it, but the Warriors in six for me.
And finally, the 2-7, Memphis and Minnesota. I went back and forth between calling this a sweep and calling it five games. Sorry to everyone, my first-round predictions aren't the most shocking or interesting, but I'm going to go with Memphis in five. I'm not going to give out too many sweeps in what I think is a competitive top seven in the Western Conference. So props to the Grizzlies to take a five-game series over the Timberwolves.
after literally winning the play-in to play the Jazz last year. Super exciting for the Grizz. I agree with you. I do think they win in five. It's this testament only literally because of the cat part of it. Ja doesn't have to probably play up to full speed. This series can probably still win, etc. I think Cat has one of those stupid, like, he had a 50-point game this year, I believe, didn't he? He'll probably have, like, a 41-17 game or something stupid like that. He'll probably have one. And that's probably what wins them that game. So we'll go, for me, same thing, Grizz in five. To recap, we have, I believe we have the same. So I think we literally have, for the actual who makes it through, when we talk about the second round in a few weeks, it'll be Suns, Jazz, it will be Warriors, Grizzlies. Super boring. That's the West this year, though. Good teams, bad teams, I'm not too thrilled about. So looking forward to
the conference semifinals is where the NBA playoffs really pick up.
However, for the East, they start tomorrow, before this episode even goes up, probably. I'll probably have it up super late Tuesday or super early Wednesday. Let's roll into the Eastern Conference.
Which matchups first playing that you want to talk about?
Wouldn't it be fun to do the 9-10 just like we started with it in the West, right?
Sure.
Take it away, my friend.
All fly. Hornets move on.
All right. What is your... I know your heart says that. Like, what is your mind?
All fly. Hornets move on.
Okay. All right. Okay. So for me, I think this is a worst case scenario draw for the Hornets out of these four, as much as people are going to go, to that statement. What? Hold on. Yes. Because you've beaten the Nets. I believe you swept. Did you sweep the season series against the Nets? I'm pretty sure you did. Pretty sure we looked that up last week.
No, I didn't sweep it. We won.
Okay. Either way, you beat the Nets. You still can. Yada, yada, yada. Right. Obviously, people are going to say, when I say that, because they're going to think the Nets is the worst matchup. The Hornets have beaten the Nets this year. The Cavs missing Jared Allen. I think the Hornets, that's a huge win for the Hornets if they play them. How it shook out, I think they could beat the Cavs pretty easily. That being said, process of elimination, I think the Hawks were the worst draw. The Hawks are the worst draw because they're the hottest team out of those four right now. And I don't think that's close. Trae Young just finished the season with the most points total and the most assists total. Last guy to do that was Tiny Archibald, for those that might not know, which is a big deal, right? Trey's been unbelievable. They've been better defensively. So I think this game's really close, and I almost picked the Hawks. But I've seen the Hornets in person this year enough, finally. Been wanting to get to a game, like I said. And I'm glad I did, because I saw a lot of things that really, really convinced me that they could make some kind of cool run. The issue is the Hayward injury, right? Hayward's not there. It's tough, right? There's a lot of good things riding on this team. I think they beat the Hawks, but I think it's super close. I think it comes down to the wire.
Yeah. And the Hornets and Hawks split the season series this year, 2-2. Most recent meeting was March 16th, which was a 10-point Hornets victory. No Hayward in tow.
The Hawks were good then, too. They were winning.
Frankly, I'm joking if I'm claiming that I'm analyzing any of this.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I'm glad I'm okay with you doing the fan part of it, because I looked at this unbiasedly, because at the end of the day, like, I had to, because this matchup is probably going to be the most close out of all of them plan-wise. And I think
I just need to see my guys win a postseason game.
And even if
for what would be the first time in 6 years.
Favorite thing about the play-in, too, is if they lose, they're not out. Like, that's okay. They can still do this, right? But I do think the Hawks is close. So,
well, no, like, this is 9-10. If they lose, they're out.
I keep forgetting that it's the 9-10. I had them, they were in the 8 for a long time. It keeps messing me up. God bless America. Okay. Anyway, regardless, they can win this game. And I think it is close. I think they do win it.
Oh, I mean, it's a coin flip for most people, which it should be.
I'm not shocked if in 3 days the Hawks win. And I'm going to be upset. Don't get me wrong. But, like, the Hawks are really good right now. I'm not saying they're a better team. I think these teams are really close. But obviously preseason, you and I both had the Hawks in the top three. And I think Trae Young, by the way, is a top three or four
MVP. Well, it's like we're talking about the 7 through 10 in the East are all leaps and bounds ahead of everybody below 7 in the West. So
totally fair. The Trae Young thing, though, like this year we both had them preseason at like, what, 2 or 3? I think we both had the Hawks. If they are in that 4 spot right now and the way Trae Young's played, he's probably an MVP vote. It's for some people, like, or at least a top 3 or 4 or 5. And it's crazy how different the Hawks have been.
I thought he was the best guard this season. So.
Let's go with Nets Cavs, even though no Jared Allen, that's probably tough.
Yeah, that's kind of what. So, no Jared Allen and the game
It's in
Kyrie
Brooklyn.
Irving can now play in Brooklyn. That kind of sorted out all of my decisions for the game and that I'm going to go with Brooklyn.
Think I would have picked him even without Kyrie because of the Allen injury. It was probably that close, but either way, it doesn't matter. It's a 7-8. I'm not confused this time. It's the 7-8. They're not eliminated. Ha. The 7-8. I think the Nets move on. So I believe it
We
is.
both have Cavaliers Hornets.
Go ahead, say it.
I'll fly. Let's move on.
I unfortunately have the Cavs. It
It's fine.
and I'll tell
They
you,
are
they're
three
not
and seven
taking
in
it.
their last 10, but
They are, however.
however.
However, I didn't know how to pick this game. I looked up stats. I looked up the season series. I did everything. They were 2-2, like you mentioned already.
Yeah. Okay, let you go. I have one stat that I didn't want to bring up.
I'm sure there's one that I'd probably miss that's convincing and why I shouldn't pick the Hornets like an idiot. And I'm not going to change my pick live because that would be the biased Homer Two Pointers podcast thing to do, and I'm not going to do it. I just think the Cavs this year, I think Evan Mobley makes a difference. I think Evan Mobley is better than Mason Plumlee. And obviously, Jared Allen
Well,
being out
yeah.
hurts. I think Evan Mobley's better than Montrezl Harrell. I think he's better than anybody they try to put on him. And I think he's going to be an X factor in that game. And I just think it's going to be that close because Garland's been awesome, but so is LaMelo. Problem is, who the Cavs put on Bridges? I don't know. I guess they put Okoro,
Chetty Osman. I'm
Jay
just kidding.
Osman, or Okoro, right? There's options, right? They can throw
No, that's a
buckets at
joke
him.
because Chetty Osman's like one of the worst defenders in the league. That's why
I believe it. I wouldn't even have to
he's
look that up to believe
horrible at
it.
defense.
But no, I just think it's super close. I don't really know how to pick, so I went with the Cavs, to be
Don't know if
contrarian.
anybody's really afraid of Mobley's offense right now. He's struggled in the second half. But the thing I do want to point out, and this is, and you probably aren't going to know the answer to this, and it's fine. This is a very Hornets super fans that watch all the games will know this and know what to expect, but everyone else will kind of just like see it when it comes. Have you ever watched the Hornets play in Cleveland against the Cavaliers?
Have I ever?
Yeah.
I probably did one of the two times they played this year, maybe. Yeah. I mean, if I didn't,
It's
fine.
specifically in Cleveland.
No, probably not.
Okay. So Terry Rozier is from just outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And every time Terry Rozier plays at Cleveland, he scores 30 plus, like nearly every time, bar none, just shoots like 80%, lights out. It's an incredibly weird phenomenon, happens every time. Every time we go to Cleveland, Terry hits basically every shot he puts up.
And this is like not just the Hornets, Terry. This is also Boston, Terry.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
Whenever
All right.
Terry plays in Cleveland in Quicken Loans Arena, he hits basically every shot he puts up. So that's what I would fully expect to happen in a Hornets Cavaliers matchup in Cleveland.
Yeah. Look, phenomenons. I love stats like that. Whatever. That's how
It
close that game
happens so
is.
many times, it's kind of uncanny.
To be clear, if the Nets would be whoever they play as long as it's not the Hornets in the 7-8. And to be clear with you, I fully went into this before I started sitting down today and breaking down the predictions to try to get them what I thought was right. I fully thought the Hornets were going to make it no matter what. And I had it at that point. It was that close. I went contrary to you because I think it could happen very easily. With Hayward there, I picked them no matter what, just to be clear with everyone. Cool. So we
One
both.
exception, the
Go
Hornets
ahead.
played in Cleveland on October 22nd, towards the start of the season. Terry Rozier was hurt in the first half and did not have a good stat line.
Doesn't count
Yeah.
when they would have played the whole game. I'm not going to count against
He
his
played
phenomenon.
less than a half, only took five shots.
I want his phenomenon to say the same. Let's go 1 versus 8. You have Hornets versus Heat. I have Heat versus Cavs.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I thought you were about to be like cats, like from the March Madness show,
Bobcats are moving on.
or Rock Chalk, which you were basically correct on the
So this
entire
is
show.
funny. You know who the Hornets played the last time they were in a 7-game playoff series?
It was the Heat, I remember.
Yeah. It was the epic Game 6 battle back and forth between Kemba Walker and Dwayne Wade. Oh, how times have changed.
Or D Wade's looking around for Jordan in the crowd as he hits those
Yeah.
shots and jumps over. Yeah, that was nuts, I remember.
I will root hard for the Hornets to win. Last time maybe they'll pick up a game. So I'll give them a game and say Heat win in five. But every time I've seen us play Miami, I just feel like there's nothing we can do, frankly.
Yeah, last time they played, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was an X-factor. So I feel like I'd like their chances better in this series when you don't have a player like that. No, I'm sorry. That was a shot to my. That was mean. I'm sorry. I have. I think
we finished. We had about this a very similar record then. Well, it's a similar quality Hornets team.
I just wanted
as that time against a much better Miami Heat team.
I just wanted a shot at MKG. That's all. Yeah. So 1-8. I would probably pick the Hornets to win the game against Miami. I'd probably pick Miami in five, but I do have the Cavs. Sorry, Cleveland, you had a great year, and if you'd made six, it probably would have been more interesting because six versus this year's three, being the Bucks, would have been really fun.
There was that period of time midseason where I said Cleveland was the best team in the NBA, so you always have that.
Yeah.
No, or best team
at the time. Sure, whatever, yeah. But that's why I don't try to aggregate stuff in January. But, yeah, Heat, Cavs, I don't care who it is. I think it's Heat and four, even though I don't think the Heat are the best team in the East.
4-5?
4-5. Sixers, Raps.
So if you want your...
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I want to get this out of the way. The public, this is the most popular, the public and media think that the Raps are going to beat the Sixers because of the way the Raptors play. I've looked across the board. Like, it pretty unanimously, people think the Raptors are going to win this
season. I just keep seeing highlights of that Kawhi shot that bounced all around the rim.
I'm sure Joel Embiid sees that every time he goes to bed between now and game one. But the reason and I think if you really, really think about it and break it down, I don't think it's the Raptors, and I'll tell you why. They're both top. You were talking about earlier with the Mavs and the Jazz being low in pace. These teams are both top five in slowest pace. And what did I tell you was Philly's biggest Achilles heel against anybody would be how fast the game would be played, right? Joel Embiid would have time to get back on defense, have time to set up his 30 and 12 he's going to have. The only issue I'm having right now is Seth Curry is a huge X factor for them because they're not a very deep team. They're missing Niang for the whole first series. Curry's playing about 80% right now on a sprained ankle. But if this series slows down, I'm convinced Philly can win it just based on the fact that Embiid and Harden are two of the best players in the NBA when they're playing really well. Problem is Harden's been terrible. So I think it's a close series. I think it's a great series. I think it's probably the best first-round series in the East. And it's Sixers and six.
Yeah, so I also have the Sixers.
I knew it.
I haven't gotten completely on board with Toronto, although I do have the game going seven. I think it's very close. As always with these two franchises, it's razor thin. But it does come down to the fact I think Toronto has put together an incredible run. I still don't know really how they're doing it, to be frank.
I have the answer. I was about to say it before you said that. The answer is Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse has
been I understand. You're a huge Nick Nurse guy.
I am a huge – look, what's even crazier, I'm going to back this up really quick. I mentioned this earlier when I slandered Jalen Green's last 10 games. Jalen Green averaged like 27 a game in the last 10. Do people realize that, right? Like 27 a game? You realize out of those 11 games – I'm going to say 11 because it was really hilarious. You realize the one game he didn't score 20 points in his last 11, you know who it was against? The Toronto Raptors. You know how many points he had? Like 8. And he was averaging like in that 5-game span, like 31. It was stupid.
Now, Kevin Porter Jr. did drop 35 on the Raptors in that game.
That's fair. But
anyway. And Josh Christopher got 20. But.
Doesn't change the fact that they probably can't stop Embiid. And at that point, can they figure out Harden?
No, I'm not putting it on Kim Birch to shut down Joel Embiid in the paint. Neither am I putting it on Chris Boucher. So
who can't get him down the court for 25 minutes or more at a time. His conditioning is quite poor. All right, 3-6. The last two matchups here, I think.
That is Milwaukee and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls fans, I'm very sorry. Get the brooms out. The Bucks are winning in a sweep here.
This is probably the most – we've done this for almost 2 years now.
I think the first round's not
super
off the wall most of the time.
Depending on the matchups. I think we actually got really let down by some of these matchups because I think a few weeks ago we thought some of these matchups would have been insane, and then I think they kind of fell a little weird. I think the second round's going to be, like you said earlier, like the second round's going to be nuts for both sides. But yeah, I don't have a broom in this hotel room, unfortunately. I was gonna grab it, but unfortunately, and it literally only comes down to this one thing for me. You can look up, shout out to our friends at StatMuse. You can look up on their site, their lovely, lovely, awesome stat site, as they're starting to build it and improve it. They don't have everything, but they do have a one of my favorite things to look at is records since blank. Records since January 1st, January 31st. It's a really cool way to look at a team's trend. Since January 1st, the Bulls are 23 and 26. To be clear, they started off the season like 28 and like 11. So they've completely cooled off for a long time. The fact that they
They're
ended
having
up
a
at
tough time.
six, yeah, the fact they ended up at six is kind of a miracle if we really think about it. So they did, and they also don't have anyone on the defensive side of the ball that I absolutely trust to play the Bucks, because the Bucks have three offensive players that are unbelievable when they're on. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis, obviously.
I think it's safe to say that probably no Lonzo in the series.
Oh, and they've already confirmed Lonzo is not playing the series.
So we're talking about. So this Bulls team, the no Lonzo Bulls team, were beaten by Charlotte by 16 at home last week.
Yeah, and even like I think Brook Lopez like gets somewhat of the best of Vucevic some games too. I think it's just that far ahead Milwaukee is. They're getting right at the right time too. Like the Bulls just aren't, and it sucks. They might shock people though. They get two wins, but without Lonzo, it's going to be hard. I wouldn't be shocked if this game if the series goes to six. Like I'd be like, okay, cool. The Bulls were a good team. Like this year, we saw it. We know what they can be. Problem is, like you said, Lonzo. It just sucks. Like that, you sign him. That's your big tool there to get a big playoff series win. Like Bulls fans maybe thought they could have this year. It's just tough. Celtics Nets at 2-7.
So I see so many people picking Brooklyn to knock off Boston in this game and mentioning the fact that, and honestly, it's kind of true. The Bucks kind of dodged Brooklyn in the last game of the season. Did you see the lineup they trotted out against Cleveland?
Yeah, it was abysmal.
Yeah. The Milwaukee Bucks team that had been healthy suddenly got very hurt when a victory over the Cavaliers would have clinched them the two seed in a likely matchup with the Brooklyn Nets. They started Jrue Holiday. That's the only normal thing. Then just give me the rest of it. Javon Carter, Jordan Nwora, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, and Sandru Mamukelashvili.
I'm
That
gonna
was the
trust you
starting
guys.
lineup for the Bucks.
We'll trust you guys' name right there.
Mamukelashvili, yeah.
I'm
But that being
excited.
said, Brooklyn is in the seven spot for a reason. And they're playing the hottest team in the Eastern Conference.
Last team in the NBA. Let's just say it. That's what they are. At
Might
least talking about the last 30, they definitely are.
be. For the threat, like if I just look at the matchup just on paper, it's like a five game Celtics win. When I factor in the fact that Kevin Durant's going to win one of these on his own just because he's. When he's playing, probably the best basketball player in the world. Give him another and say that it's Boston in six. But like the Nets aren't that good, frankly. Even with KD and Kyrie, and they're against a Boston team that is stacked. So, and the thing that I just challenge anyone that's not sure to go look at. Who's the next option after Katie and Kyrie?
Well, Joe Harris isn't there, for people don't realize.
The next two best scoring options are LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills.
Yeah, that's tough. Probably Patty Mills, if I had to answer the question. A point to the
That's not
Celtics.
a good Patty Mills who's having an awful season. No offense, Patty.
Started off really hot, but yeah, has tailed off completely since the first like 10 games. A point to the Celtics here. With the Suns being the obvious exception of the best team in the NBA in terms of the last whatever, however many games, the Celtics since January 1st are 34 and 12.
It's insane.
So, just for fun, because I'm on here, all I got to do is change Celtics to Suns. Shout out to our friends at StatMuse.
We should let everyone
Suns
know that
record.
meant that they were 17 and 19 at the turn of the year.
The Suns are 37 and 10 since January 1st. So they're literally only two games back of the Suns,
Suns have
which is,
lost 8 games since January 1st.
yeah, ridiculous. That being said, for me, it's two things. I definitely just realized that I was talking about Seth Curry because he was obviously traded to Brooklyn and Andre Drummond with the James Harden trade. I was talking about Curry on a sprained ankle in the Philly series. Forgot which I think I had the note wrong. So yeah, they have Curry. They have a scorer that's probably better than Patty Mills right there. However, he is on a. Let me just be clear now. However, he's on a sprained ankle. So Josh, your point of the score part still stands, and I had the stat to back it up. I just told you the wrong series. I had him during the Sixers series by accident. Anyway, Curry's on a sprained ankle. The Nets, like I said, this stat still stands. They are the second worst defensive team in the playoffs. I said it a few weeks ago with Minnesota making it. Minnesota's the worst defensive team. Sorry. But the Nets can win a game where they score 130. The Celtics sometimes have these nights where they just might not score all that much from, like, say, a Jaylen Brown, and that may kill them. If Kyrie and KD combine for 60, 65, depending on the night. I think this series probably goes seven. That's what I went with, and I went with Celtics in seven. Although it was close for me, it could have been six, but I went with Celtics in seven.
So where we were real dramatic, we've got the second round in the East, 1-2-3-4, and out West, 1-2-3-5. There you go,
Yeah,
everyone.
and I
Hot
think
takes
that's
coming
probably
in.
what happens. That's the craziest thing. Like, I
Yeah.
didn't, that's probably what happens. So,
I don't remember an eight bidding a one since
oh,
the
ain't not,
Young
that's not
Gun
happening.
OKC team
That's
with
not happening.
KD. I'm just kind of reminiscing the Young Gun OKC team of KD, Russell Westbrook and James Harden knocked off Kobe's Lakers like in a first round 1-8.
They should have won that series too. I remember that series like it was yesterday.
That's the last time I remember an 8 beating a 1. That's why I couldn't convince myself to pick the Hornets.
I want to end this with a little experiment slash game before we go to trivia. Every round, we're obviously until we get to the final. I want us to pick because we did a couple weeks ago. We did our finals pick. We did this. That. I want to do a finals pick at the beginning of the playoffs right now, and I want to
Phoenix.
see. I want to see. Well, finals matchup. Like, we'll do both sides for now. But right now, you have Phoenix, obviously, and so do I. So I have Phoenix winning the title. I think it's fully laid out for them. I told you I would talk about that at the end really quick when we talked about, because I didn't bring this up with Phoenix earlier. But right now, I have a rematch of last year still, and I have Suns Bucks. I just wanted to see where you were, because a couple weeks ago, you were on Suns Celtics, and I think you're probably still there.
Still there. That Boston Milwaukee matchup that's staring me in the face, I really don't know what's going to go down.
That
The
would be
Robert
wild.
Williams injury, the will he won't he play is really.
He'll be back by the end of the first round slash beginning of the second round, to be completely clear on the timeline of his injury.
It's
He could
just he
not.
had a big injury and they were like, yep, we're running him back out there.
Well,
You've
it was a meniscus. It's
torn your
something that
meniscus
can.
before. You know
I
this.
have.
Yeah.
Now the difference is I did a full tear and he did a partial, like, with a scope repair, which was,
Okay.
it's just total, they're totally different injuries. That whole learning thing they give you when you do that is extensive. Let me get this right. That would be a second round matchup between those two, would it not?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
What we both have is wrong too.
Couple things on Phoenix, since we're talking about Phoenix and possibly Boston or Milwaukee, that I forgot to mention with Phoenix earlier, but they deserve this. Their stats in the clutch. I'm, by the way, to be clear for people, I'm going to go ahead and spoil the second round, third round for me on the West. I think the Suns only lose two games this whole playoffs, probably. Like, that includes the finals. That includes the finals against the Bucks for me, and especially against the Celtics. If it's the Celtics, it might be a sweeper. It might be five. But the stats in the clutch for Paul and Booker are absurd. They are 1-2 in every single clutch stat that there is, and there's like a 10-point gap between them and third. The other thing I wanted to mention that I thought was funny, I forgot to mention with MVP earlier, with the Suns, is if Devin Booker doesn't win MVP, which he obviously isn't, that's not what I'm saying, but if he doesn't win MVP, it'll be the first time in NBA history where a guy who averages 25, 5, and 5 on the best record team in the NBA that doesn't win MVP. Just to kind of give a testament to the Suns and how good they've been with Booker. It's a testament to their strength as a deep team, even though he averages 25, 5, and 5. And then lastly, no matter why it matters for Phoenix playing Milwaukee or Boston, Phoenix has the best winning percentage on the road, and it's better than every other team's winning percentage at home. You ready for trivia?
Throw it at me.
You have a 2-point opportunity. Really quick, for those that might not know, Josh is up 14 to 10. I know you're up 4.
15 to 11.
15 to 11. I knew it was close. I knew you were up 4. Anyway, let's go with this. I mentioned earlier when we talked about Hawks Hornets that Trae Young passed Tiny Archibald, or was the second player to pass him, was the second player to finish the best in the league, both small guards. I thought it was interesting, with most points and most assists in the NBA at the end of the year. Total points and total assists. Your job today, you get 4 guesses because that's the fair thing to do. That's what you did for me, yada, yada, yada. You can relinquish a hint. Your point here is you have to guess who is second in both of those categories this season in total points and total assists. So Trae Young was first in total points. And total assists, you have to guess who's second. While you are thinking slash...
What does this have to do with awards or playoff predictions?
The Hawks are in the playoffs, and I thought
it
was a cool...
Oh, my gosh.
The Hawks are in the... The Hawks are in the playoffs. It's something that happened. And it's also something that happened this week that was really interesting, and they didn't make playoffs. If they didn't make playoffs, I probably don't pick this, to be clear. So while you're thinking of it, I got to pull it up really quick.
So second total points, DeMar DeRozan.
Okay, I don't even have the list up, but I do remember that that's correct, and that is correct. That's not the one I thought you would get, okay? How did you know that? I'm so mad at myself. You're about to be up 7, I think.
I looked at it when he was in the lead like a week and a half ago because people were making arguments for why is the scoring title not most points scored? Why is it average? And that was when DeMar was leading.
It should be average, if you ask me. But.
Depends on how many games you play.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. They could change it, but not the debate for today.
Total assists. It's going to be someone that didn't get hurt. Honestly, just because I'll kick myself if it's not him. I don't even know if I think it is, but I'm just going to throw it out there and say Nikola Jokic. Just to throw a guess out there.
It is not. I don't have the list because it's not pulling up for me right now. Give me just a second. It's not. I literally can't figure out why it's not pulling up. It's taken a second on Basketball Reference. He is not second, though. I do know them off the top of my head because that's...
Where is he?
I'm finding out. Be guessing while I'm finding it out, okay?
Well, my next thing, since I have 2 glasses left, is to ask for a hint, so...
Jokic is not in the top 5.
Hmm.
I'll go ahead and pull up the whole list because why not? Because you've already got the points one, right?
Yeah.
He is... He's 6th.
Okay, he's close. Yeah, so I'll take a hint about who's second in total assists.
Trying to figure out a hint that's not too easy.
I love this wrinkle of the game that we've added.
Well, I do too, but I'm about to throw you like off the wall hint because I think it'd be funny. Because I don't think you deserve it because you're about to ask.
As long as it's something that points to what the answer is, it's an allowable hint. Oh, even if it's off the wall. It can't be something that completely points away. That'd be against the rules.
Oh, brother. This guy didn't score 1,000 points this season total.
How many points did Trae Young score total this season?
2,155.
Good grief. Okay.
This guy who's second in assists scored less than 1,000. There we go. That's a good
hint.
That's
fascinating.
Yeah, that's why I'm not giving you like blank. Like I'm not giving you confidence. I'm not giving you that crap. I want to give you something that's not going to help you. That was the whole point of that hint, which I think it was a decent hint. I think it's an interesting hint. The guy's second. I mean, holy cow.
Chris here. Ball.
I hate you so much in this.
Is that the answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Those of I not realize, I tried so hard. I tried so hard to get the right question this week. I really did. It was topical. Like what? All right. Since I already got screwed, what would you have done this week? Seriously, off top of your head, what would you have tried to like?
I don't know. I didn't have time to come up with something.
I'll give you one that I considered briefly.
Yeah.
Who were the 4 playoff or play-in teams last year? That's way too
in difficult. 4 playing teams in what conference?
To make it last conference.
Oh, yeah. Lakers, Grizzlies.
Exactly.
Wizards. Celtics?
Yeah. That's what it was. So, yeah, I'm mad. There was no way, again, that every other stat, like, there's no way I could have tied in, like, most turnovers this year, yada, yada. Like, there wasn't a way I could have made it difficult. And I tried. That's my excuse. Great job. You're up by six once again.
Right back where we were in January.
Hey, I still got the whole playoffs to go. I can do it.
It's a good thing that you have a chance to get 10 points on the finale night when
Yeah, but
Grayson gets his 10 questions.
you have to miss six of those. That's the
I
part that
know.
kills me.
You better start
Anyway.
bribing Grayson.
All right. Well, that was fun, like it or not, for me. Again, please check out the episode of Draft Chat that we released last week. Want to make sure that people are aware that we did that. Awesome draft content. Big board updates are probably coming here in the next couple of weeks. A couple of mine changed. I was very vocal on the pod that they probably didn't, and then I went back a couple hours after the show, and my big board changed quite a bit, actually. So we'll go in and we'll mess with those here in the next couple of weeks or so. Look forward to chatting more about that. Excited for the playoffs. Super, super excited. If you want to see our thoughts and reactions, you can follow us on Twitter at Two Pointers, Facebook.com/the Two Pointers Podcast, and TikTok and Instagram is at the Two Pointers Podcast. All right, Josh, anything else before we wrap up?
All fly.
All right. Close this out, please.
The Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm down by six in trivia.
All fly.